day's biggest stories, the people behind the headlines, the conversations you won't hear anywhere else. I'm Christy Strasser. You're listening to Odyssey's On Deadline. There are so many divides in American life today. The political divide, the wealth gap, healthcare, housing, etc. But it turns out there's also a divide in this. Whether you're old enough to trust your boss. Here's Tommy Tucker on WWL in New Orleans.
71% of baby boomers completely trusted their employer. 65% of millennials trusted, but only 41% of Gen Z. So we have a real generational shift right here in lack of trust.
Where does that mistrust come from?
So this is interesting. I've done a lot of research on this. I'm Gen X, right? And I have a 22-year-old daughter. And guess what? They don't want to be like us. And then we reacted to the baby boomers. So what happened was we got to see somebody like my dad, who's 81 years old, and he devoted his entire career and life to General Motors. Mm-hmm. And we moved around every 2 years going after the carrot and the bigger title, right? And I saw that. And that absolutely affected me. And I worked like a dog, right? And went after the same things. And it's this generation that said, we don't want that. We want meaningful work. We want purpose. We don't want jerk bosses. We want actually compassionate human beings who believe in us, who want to give us growth and experiences. So we're dealing with a whole different type of worker. And also there's a nuance here that is really important, Tommy. It's not what they want. It's actually what they expect. And that's where the mismatch is coming. Leaders haven't evolved to deliver the type of leadership that is going to attract and retain this newer generation.
You know, years ago, Michelle, I said that, you know, it struck me that if you go somewhere to have a good time, you pay them. If you have a job to do, then they pay you to be there. And when you talk about growth and experiences, if you want growth and experiences, go to a retreat or go to a theme park, but you're going to have to pay to do that. When you go to work, they pay you, so it's not so much about the growth and experiences, or am I just old school?
Yeah, so what we're finding is that tends to be an old school mindset, and that work is work, play is play. There's a professional you, and then there's a personal you. There's a work calendar and there's a home calendar. What I'm finding in all of my research is right now, that's why I write about these seismic shifts. So thank you for having me on your show, is the seismic shift is that there is one you, and we want you to be genuine and real, right? There's one day at a time, one calendar, and you've got to figure out that balance and incorporate the most important relationships in your life and your big purpose. This all correlates with Dr. Robert Waldinger's longest study at Harvard that looked at life fulfillment at the end of your life. And those who only went after, those who had that mindset that work, 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 more, bigger title, bigger car, bigger house, got to the end of their life and they were empty. Mm-hmm. And they said, what have I done this for? This was not pleasant. I'm not fulfilled. I feel empty. Compared to those who said, you know what? I surrounded myself with beautiful relationships. I actually intentionally made time for those relationships, and I had purpose. I had meaning. And so that's what we're talking about right now. This particular generation wants that. They want an organization that they believe in. They want a leader who believes in them. They want team collaboration. And again, the nuance here is they don't just want it, they expect it. So leaders are going to have to make a shift.
But are the goals of the organization congruent with the goals of the workers?
That is exactly the misalignment right here. So if you still have an organization that has a military drill sergeant mindset, just show up and do your job. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work. You're not going to attract. So we talked about that opening statistic that only 40% of Gen Zs trust their employer. 50% of them, and these are young kids, really, 50% of them have already quit a job because they don't trust their employers, because they're like, what is this? You don't even seem to want to develop me. You don't seem to want to mentor me and give me opportunities. And they're not even, get this, Tommy, they're not even interested in leadership necessarily, in getting that title, because again, they've watched us. They've watched us, and they're like, oh, no, I don't want that. So they want something that is bigger, more meaningful. They want a more balanced life because they've seen people like us, their parents and our generation, go after all of these goals and then feel empty at the end of the day. They want more.
I don't feel empty. Do you?
I found purpose. And you found purpose.
Yeah.
And guess what? That's what they're looking for. They're looking for purpose, not just a job where you show up, you check a box, and you leave. That's the difference. They want to find meaning and purpose.
So how do they define success?
Okay, so this is interesting. So I dove into this, and they define success into three areas. They want, actually, four areas. They want well-being. I'll never forget, I was running the executive mentoring program at Loyola. We started it the year before Katrina, so in 2004, and I recruited all these amazing executives to mentor our freshman business students. And when I got back with them after the first year, I said, how did it go? They said, they're more interested in well-being than I've ever heard in my life. And they were really struck by this. But guess what? Those were the millennials, and they had a point. Their health has to come first. I'm an executive coach. I work with a lot of executives who struggle in the beginning when they're in a high-level leadership position because they put everybody and everything first and their health suffers.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a great leader if you're unhealthy. You can't be a happy, fulfilled person if you're unhealthy. So this younger generation is absolutely prioritizing well-being. So that's number one out of the four.
Okay.
Number two, they expect team collaboration. They don't want to just be, you know, told, even though in the first level job, you're going to be told obviously what to do. They want some team collaboration. They were educated so differently than we were, Tommy. They were brought up where everything was a team. They weren't sat, like, think about our classroom. We were spoken to. Their classrooms, they had these shared projects that they worked on the entire time. So they expect collaboration, number two. Number three, big P, purpose. And number four, flexibility. They want to be able to work when they want to work to ultimately accomplish the goal, but they want flexibility.
Mm.
So how do you feel about those four things?
not very good at all, Michelle. I wish you could see the frown on my face as you say that.
That's why I asked that question. I could see the frown on your face through the telephone. I knew you were frowning.
I
get it.
You know,
I have empathy. I get it.
I don't know how we got here, but it's like, do they understand that there are different levels of work that you need to start at the bottom and work your way up?
Educated again in a different way that was much more of shared collaboration. They had more agency. They were part of decision making. They were told that their ideas counted. And then all of a sudden they enter a workplace. And if it's an outdated workplace, they're like, I'm not going to do this. This is not good for me. So they have a little bit more, I say, ego than we did.
But you know what you can't trust Gen Z to do? Flirt, at least not to do it well. Here's Adam and Jordana in Minneapolis.
But I think if you ask young men, they're afraid to do it because they don't want to be labeled a creep or something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a fine line between, you know, creative flirting and being a creep.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most young men just are like, why would I want to do that if there's a chance that I'm going to get in trouble?
In trouble or rejected?
Mm-hmm.
Because
they're right there. Buy you a drink.
I buy you a drink.
Can a guy say that to a girl anymore? Hey, I'd like to buy you a drink.
I think that's probably the only acceptable and perfect opening. I mean, you could go.
I don't think so.
Nice,
I think it's the worst one because now,
really?
Like, our drinks are like we're afraid. People leave the bar now. They put napkins on top of their drinks. Why do they do that? Because they don't want somebody to drop something in their drink.
That's true. But if you're both standing at the bar and the bartender delivers your drink, you know, you have very little danger of that happening.
I'd have to say, though, like, make sure you hand it to her. I just don't. Oh. I don't want to have that drink in my hands at all. Just so you know, I'm not a predator and I didn't put a date rape drug in your drink.
Fair.
Honestly, that's changed things for us.
I agree
100%.
That's okay. All of the things you're saying are true. That's right. And maybe that is the reason that this study, and by the way, it's in the bastion of journalism, Yahoo.com.
Yahoo.com. And I don't even think it's that much of a study other than just a woman saying flirting is dead.
Yeah, I think she's a therapist and saying that, like, she has run into clients that say they don't feel confident talking to the other sex. And it's both ways. She tells the story of a young woman who, like, at a yoga event or, like, after yoga, everybody went out for drinks and somebody went up to the woman and said, like, something like, I like your outfit. I like your yoga outfit.
Yeah.
And the woman said, thanks, and turned her back on him. And her girlfriend said, why don't you talk to him? He's clearly trying to talk to you. And she's like, what? Like, she couldn't even pick up the sense of somebody trying to flirt with her because I think you are right, Adam, that it is a lost art, that people aren't necessarily doing it anymore.
All right.
They're going out in large groups. They're certainly not going out
in large
themselves.
Groups. They're not meeting on like
they're meeting online.
We meet people on the phone now. Mm-hmm. We don't meet
That's
people
right.
in person.
That's right.
And that has something to do with it too. But I also think Me Too had a lot to do with it.
That's an interesting thought. It is.
Jeff has called in from Maple Grove. Jeff, you're on CCO. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're close. I think that COVID, maybe two movement and are locking ourselves in, really strung people out and got them very, very anxious, very, very uptight. And as a result, you really can't say the wrong thing to everyone, to anyone. So case in point, I was at a work meeting out of state. After the meetings were done for the day, a group of us went out to a restaurant, and I'm sitting at this table with maybe 12 or 14 people. I'm talking primarily to three or four guys. A work turn to women and how hard it was to try to date, and we were talking about screwy pickup lines. And my favorite, the one I always use, and I have cleared this with your producer so I can't say it on the air.
Okay.
Excuse me, are you a toaster? Because I think taking a bath with you would send me to heaven.
Oh my God.
Jeff, has that ever worked for you?
That got me fired. 3 days later, I lost my job.
Are you serious?
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Explain that. How did that, somebody overheard you say
that? Somebody at that table complained that I made them uncomfortable.
Oh, and you lost your job?
I lost my job.
I am sorry.
You know, I think I mentioned on this show before that employment is a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
That's just one more log I'm going to throw in that puppy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at work. I'm in a social environment talking to a group of men.
Yeah.
And somebody else at the table called HR. HR called me in and said, that is inappropriate. We're going to have to let you go.
Unbelievable. So was it a woman who overheard you and made that report, or do you know?
I know they'll never tell me who complained.
Okay, yeah, right.
Right. That's
You got this.
Low energy, unfocused, foggy, you might be dehydrated. Don't let dehydration take away from your day. Gatorade Zero powders have been scientifically designed to help improve hydration balance in the body. With a clinically proven electrolyte blend and no artificial colors or flavors. Shop now online or at retailers nationwide. Gatorade, hydrates better than water. Is it in you? Symptoms noted are signs of mild to moderate dehydration. Consult a healthcare professional if symptoms persist.
Lemonade! Fresh squeezed lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
In a contracting business, you're either growing or you're grinding. Success is no longer about hard work alone. It's about using AI to accelerate impact. ServiceTitan is the only integrated intelligence that seamlessly automates your entire workflow, from first call to final invoice. Born in the trades, built for visionaries, ready to stop operating and start automating. ServiceTitan, AI for the trades.
Yeah.
Crazy
All right.
story.
Wow, Jeff, I'm so that took a turn.
Being rejected. Yeah. It's a fear of worse than rejection.
Yeah. Jeff, well, I'm
that
sorry
next
that happened.
Step, that next level.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay. Well, cautionary tale, man. Now I can see why men are afraid to talk to women.
Here's a text here, 651-461-9226. I have a 19-year-old son. Thankfully, he's had a girlfriend since 11th grade. However, he's the only one in his friend group that has a girlfriend. As near as I can tell, has ever had a girlfriend. His friends seem very afraid that any kind of romantic contact is going to have some sort of fallout on social media. and she would do a video that this dork asked me out today or was catcalling me. That's another aspect of this where, like, you get called out. Like, I talked to
the University of Minnesota at one a couple of years ago was giving out consent forms that both the young man and the or whoever was engaged in the sex was supposed to sign.
Right.
And I thought, I mean, my kids were teenagers at the time, and I thought, that's crazy. But you know what? When my son went off to college, I said, you make sure you get consent from that young woman before anything ever happens. And I think I scared the crap out of him.
I think
these young men are afraid.
I understand the need for that.
Yes.
At the same time, yes. I think that also is ludicrous.
All of the things you're saying are true, yet this is the current status.
I get it. But what I'm saying, so how the hell do we navigate this kind of world where we're so afraid of consequences and are so afraid that something might be the wrong thing to do? And then we get, because it happened again, rape is horrible. I'm not disputing that. But there also have been interactions probably where somebody misconstrues something and suddenly, and I'll just be honest with you, in those cases, usually it's the guy's. Like, the guy's going to take the fall no matter what.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Of course. And maybe that's why the kids are having less sex. I mean, I think Jeff made a good point. It was COVID. It was Me Too. And no way disparaging Me Too. It was a necessary movement. We 100%. Had to have this reckoning in this country. 100%.
And that's not to say it went too far, though.
In some cases. And, for example, like Jeff's case. He was making a joke to a group of guys. It was overheard. I think their company went a little too far. He didn't even say it to a different person at the table. He was talking, unless one of the men that he was talking to reported him. But even so, it was a social situation where they were talking about pickup lines. That is extreme. And I'm very sorry that that happened to Jeff. But how do kids meet? Have we lost the art of flirting to get back to where we started?
We have.
Clearly, we have.
We have. And I think it's dead. I mean, how do you navigate this now? Like, how do you... And thank God, again, unless my wife kicks me to the curb today, which might happen. You never know.
You never know.
How the hell would I, like, navigate this life trying to approach? And maybe that's just it. You just got to go online and do it the safe way.
Or is it the way we've always done it? It's somebody you know. My parents met on a blind date. Their friends set them up. I know this guy. I know this girl. Like, and that's always been a safer way to date. God knows matchmaking made it that way. Not that I'm not advocating for that. But what I'm saying is somebody you know. When you go on the apps, these are complete strangers. You're almost inviting trouble. These are people you do not know. Maybe you've gotten matched on the app based on a survey that you filled out. But maybe people are confronting each other less because of all these fears, which are valid. And the old way is going to be, hey, I have a friend. My cousin is single. It's not such a bad thing either because those people are pre-vetted.
Right. But I would like to believe that men and women can meet, strangers can meet, and a clever opening line can lead to a beautiful romantic relationship. And I'm sad, genuinely, if that can't happen anymore.
I don't think it can. Dead? You don't think it can?
I don't think so. Not in
you don't
this
think
day
a man
age.
Can go up to a woman in a bar, and I'm using this, yes, in the traditional sense. I don't care if it's man, woman, insert your favorite gender here. Go up to a person at a bar and say, can I buy you a drink?
Yes, it can still happen, but I think it is greatly diminished because the environment that we're in today.
Another problem with trying to buy someone a drink in a bar, they're expensive. Here's Newell Normand in New Orleans.
We are joined by Guy Williams, Chairman and CEO of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. So, Guy, let's jump into the economy right away. Retail sales fell last month, an indication that consumer spending is down.
Yeah, once again, we have that famous remark, economists were surprised. But consumers sort of run out of gas. And even though gasoline prices were down, consumption has declined. And this is very concerning because consumer spending is about two-thirds of GDP. So if consumer spending declines, it means that companies will be less profitable. Less profitable companies lead to job losses. Economic uncertainty is triggered. And then people get a little bit nervous about the future and they postpone expenses. So you can imagine if, even if you haven't lost your job, if your neighbor loses their job, you say, you know, let's just not buy that car. Let's not buy that boat. Let's skip that vacation. Let's hold off on the kitchen renovation. It's also politically really tough for the incumbent party. Doesn't matter if you're Team D or R. If you're in office when the economy slows, it really is difficult. So incumbents hate a decline in consumer spending. Businesses don't like it. GDP doesn't like it. And unfortunately, this is not just a U.S. problem. China's facing the same problem. The EU's facing it. And different economies are responding differently. But it's really something the consumer has been holding the economy up for months. And, you know, we had sort of the least dirty shirt globally. But we've reached a point where there's a bit more uncertainty, and we're going to need to see a few more months to know what's going on. But right now, it's beginning to look a little grim.
Speaking of the midterms, is it time for a serious third-party alternative? Here's Chad Hartman in Minneapolis.
I put this up on the Twitter machine when I saw this poll. We need a third party that is relevant, powerful, and can win elections. Represent the 60% plus of us who look at the far right and far left and say, I don't fit on either side. The sooner, the better. And the responses are all over the place, including for folks who are passionately on the right, passionately on the left, saying, oh, stop both sides in this. Our side is fine. The other side is awful. Some acting like socialism, DSA, is basically irrelevant. It is surging. Does it have the power, Mag? Of course it doesn't. Since the guy came down the escalator, he's captivated the world. So, Mag, if you have the presidency and you have 90-plus percent of Republicans who will, if he tells them today is Tuesday, they'll agree. Yeah. He's got them in the palm of their hands, and the ones who object normally don't win their next election or they're retiring. But do I want the surge on the left? Do I want DSA? I get for somebody saying, hold on a second on socialism. What do we have with Medicare, Medicaid, and some government programs? I'm not against the government playing some role in these areas. I don't trust Medicare for All. I hate our system. I have someone else in my life. I have too many people in my life right now, as you know, who are battling significant issues. I'm just gonna keep it quiet for now. But the explanation from insurance for this individual who may be facing a significant battle but needs this test to find out, we're gonna turn you down because we were told that thing has been resolved. But the person who's told this individual needs that test again is the person who cleared this person the test and now is worried that something has come back. And so the insurance is saying, no, that doctor cleared you. Oh, my God. Of course, none of these illnesses ever come back. So I get how infuriating insurance is. It's just, you just want to kick it to the corner.
Story after story. Everyone's got them.
We could literally say, Jason, stay home. We're going to stay on the air and just read texts and calls on insurance. So I get the frustration. I cannot tell you some of the battles we've had with Quentin and Kathleen's handled much more of that than not. But I don't trust the government in total Medicare for All. I'm sick of these insurance companies turning us down. I'm sick of them making billions of dollars. I don't want to turn it completely over to the federal government. I don't trust it. I just don't. I still believe. And I'll just go with that 60%. No. They are out there. They are you. They are me. And they are obviously tens and tens and tens of millions of people in this country who look at DSA, look at, you know, no borders, no Senate, no House, no Supreme Court, no prisons. Everyone who's here came in and crossed the border, they're automatically legal, and say, hell no. So where are we at? I still believe in capitalism. I still want a system, by the way, where people can make huge sums of money if they're creative and come up with their own ideas. I want to find a way, though, for that to exist and people to not be so overwhelmed by college costs or mortgage costs or so many damn things where they have a chance for middle class, upper middle class, and to achieve that. I don't want complete government control of that, but I'd also like to have a president who, when you know it's Monday, tells you Tuesday, and they all just nod.
It's Tuesday in Australia right now.
That's true. Are you with me? Do you still think it's 60% in the middle? Or am I wrong that there's just more MAGA folks, there's more socialists, there's more DSA, and it's now, I don't know, 40, 30%? And how in the hell are we going to get to a third or fourth party? Because I'd love both. If we want to have something that's center left and center right because they don't know if they can all come together, fine. Just give me something outside of the two monopolies that we have with the Democrats and the Republicans.
You know it's never going to happen, right? That's how I feel. I'm with you 100%. I'd love it if a bona fide competitive third party who could put down middle of the road candidates, little left here, little right there, but yep, we agree on most, would be a godsend for this country. I don't think there is a chance in hell it could happen, given the power that the two big parties have and the money they have and the ability to stamp down anything that would go up against them.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Barry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.